Broadcasting Incorporated, or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
And interesting developments in technology. The NSA, some of the NSA employees were using that database to keep track of their spouses and their lovers, their boyfriends and girlfriends. And so I'll talk about that.
It's
just a small, small problem trying to keep an eye on people.
Uh-huh.
Facebook and Google are now using artificial intelligence to sort of try to get meaning out of what you're doing. They're basically going to use artificial neural network technology. They call it deep learning to learn more about you, which is, I'll talk about how that works. It's a little scary because it's highly predictable. iOS 7 includes something called multipath TCP, which is very important for mobile devices. It's a standard that's been under development for the last 5 years, and it when you got the iOS 7, you got multipath TCP automatically built in. I'll talk about why that's important, why it's particularly useful. This week we're going to feature Ray Milton Dolby, who was the inventor of Dolby Sound. And this was actually suggested by Arnie last week in a letter.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Arnie. Great suggestion. So we're going to feature Ray in that particular item. Now, Google has also changed their search algorithm a little bit more, so it's more responsive to just sort of voice commands and it tries to interpret the broader meaning of what you say instead of the literal meaning. They're trying to compete with Siri.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on there. And of course, we had a huge mailbag.
It always is.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Well, here we go. And Mr. Big Voice is not helping me at all.
Well, he had to talk. If he had to talk and lift, he might strain his precious vocal cords.
That is true.
That's the problem.
Yeah. So we got an email from Steve in Potomac. Dear Doc, you are so knowledgeable and make technology sound so easy to understand. I really enjoy your explanations. Can you suggest a book which can help a PC user deal with everyday PC software application problems such as the Internet and Word? I look forward to your show every Saturday, especially tomorrow. Your loyal listener, Steve, in Potomac, Maryland. Well, Steve, there are just a lot of books on the market out there, and I think most of these beginner books are sort of worthless. What I would recommend is you go and use a free book. You can go to wikibooks.org, en.wikibooks.org. They got a whole bunch of books there, which have all sort of been open source books. They've got some beginning computer books there. They've also got some books there on Microsoft Office. I'd suggest look around. They've got programming books there. And you might see something that you like. I've looked at so many of these beginner books, and I'm thinking, you're going to quickly outgrow it. So something free, I think, for this particular instance would be better. If you want to reach to the point where you're going to do programming, something more technical, then I would recommend some other books. But I think for your purpose, free is best. en.wikibooks.org. We got an email from John in Woodbridge. Dear Tech Talk, I installed OS 7 on my iPhone. Now I have trouble reading the fonts.
This seems to be a common complaint,
doesn't it? They are too small and too light. What can I do? Can I go back to the previous operating system, or can I fix this operating system? Love the show, John in Woodbridge. Well, John, this is a common problem and a common complaint for those of us who are over 40. Obviously, this operating system was designed by somebody in their 30s, in their 20s.
20s is right,
in their
yes.
20s, and so it looks just fine to them. But, as we get older, we need just a little bit more definition in our fonts. Well, you can easily fix it, actually. First of all, you can adjust the font size. That's a possibility. And you could you simply go to settings and then general and then font size, or I think they call it text size. And then you can simply, there's a little slide there. You can just pick the size that you want to see what looks good for you. Now, you can also keep the size, you can also just turn on bold. So you can go to settings, general, accessibility, and then turn bold text on. And I found that turning on bold made all my emails easier to read, made everything easier to read, and I just left the font size the same. So you can kind of see whether you like bold, which is in the accessibility section, or the font size, which is in the text size section. Now, also, did you notice there's this parallax effect? So when you kind of move your phone, the background shifts a little bit relative to the icons. You notice that there's a slight movement on it.
Yeah, okay.
That's called the parallax effect. That bothers some people. They don't like all that movement. So you can turn that off. That is also a complaint. Some people don't like this parallax. I actually didn't mind it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to turn off the parallax, you simply go to settings/general/accessibility, and then you turn on reduce motion.
Aha.
And also, don't forget to download the mini upgrade to iOS 7.0.2. This fixes security issues like the lock screen bypass. It also fixed a problem in the control panel.
The thing at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, what's that called? The control. No, it's control central or something.
Whatever. Yeah, control center. Yeah.
Control center. Yeah, and I couldn't turn my music on and off there. But after I downloaded the patch, the little music button worked, so I could control my music completely from the control center. So I'm actually getting used to the iOS 7. I didn't like it at first.
Really?
No, it's sort of what you get used to. You know, there's a something about the, you know, psychologists said if you see something enough, you start liking it.
Sure, sure.
If you hear an ad long enough, you begin to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, after I used it for a while, I said, okay, this doesn't look so bad. It's the familiarity deal.
But he asks a good question. If you don't like this, can you go back and download the
You're stuck.
You're
stuck. There is no reversal.
Ugh.
There is no reversal.
I'm glad I like it then.
Yeah, there is absolutely no reversal. Now, I think what Johnny Ives is doing, of course, he's the hardware guy. Now he controls the software look and feel. So now he's integrated them together. So like the say if you get this iPhone 5C, which people could be for China, for cheap, or there's something
else. There's a few other words, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It comes with all these colors. Well, Johnny Ives made it so the background screens were color coordinated with the color of the phone.
Uh-huh.
So now the operating system and the hardware and software are kind of coming closer together.
Ooh,
which is
Steve
so he
has
a very good. Yeah, I think Steve would have been in favor of that kind of thing too. But you really cannot go back. So you just really need to get used to it. The hardest thing for me in this upgrade I had on my iPhone, because I only have 16 gigabytes of memory. Mm-hmm. Say my next iPhone, I'm getting 64 gigs.
Yeah.
This is a pain in the neck. I had to transfer all my pictures to my computer, and then I had to delete some applications. And,
yep.
It was a big project. Whereas on my iPad, I have 64 gigabytes. I didn't do anything.
Exactly.
So I never really thought I would need that much memory, but now I'm going to certainly get more memory because I don't like all this maintenance activity.
Mm-hmm.
We got an email from Shell in Arlington. Dear Tech Talk, I just read about webcam hijacking. My laptop has a webcam. I don't know whether or not it's been hijacked. I have a Windows PC running Windows 7. You know, what do you recommend? Thanks. Shell in Arlington. Well, this webcam hijacking is a problem. Now, later in the show, I'm going to talk about, you know, Miss Teen America had her webcam hijacked, and they took a bunch of pictures of her while
Yikes.
She was dressing.
Yikes.
And the guy started posting them. I'll talk about that later on. So what happens is that there is, if you get a Trojan, it can download. The Trojan can actually take over your computer. You know, they've got key loggers that can, you know, keystroke loggers that can log everything you type. And they can also set it up where they can see your screen and they can control your webcam. They can turn on your webcam, but actually keep the light turned off so you don't realize that it's on.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, but you can protect against this thing. What you want to do, first of all, is always have your software firewall in place. So if you've got Windows, you want to go to the Start, then All Programs and Accessories, System Tools, and then Security Center. Make certain that you've enabled the firewall. That's number one. This prevents hackers from getting access to your computer. Now, I would also, if you want a more sophisticated firewall, I've used Zone Alarm, although... And you can download that from zonealarm.com. But I the Windows firewall is okay, especially if you're behind a router. Now, the second thing is you want to make certain you've got antivirus, because more than likely you clicked on a website and downloaded something, if you have it. So now you can, if you can't afford, you know, one of the expensive antiviruses that that are available, you could download a free version like AGV or Avira. And you can also install spyware, and Spybot Search and Destroy is a nice spyware program. You can find these for free. So what you're going to do, you're going to scan your computer, and you're going to see whether anything is on it, because this Trojan is going to be picked up as malicious software. The other thing is you want to make certain that if you're using wireless, that you enable your security key. You don't want to run your wireless unsecure, because people could actually get access to your system through your wireless. If you got a neighbor that would want to do this, for instance. Of course, Maybe your neighbor would like to turn on your webcam. You know, I'm thinking, you know, that might be a likely candidate, really.
Exactly, right.
So you want to enable probably a WPA. I would recommend that you not use WEP, WEP, because that's easily broken. There are a lot of software tools out there that will just allow you to crack the code on WEP. It's very easily, it's an outdated one. So you want to use WPA. Then I think you're going to be relatively safe. Now, some people, you can also, if you've got a laptop, just close the lid and then they can't see you. Mm-hmm. Some people put a little, just hang a piece of paper over the top of their, if they just want to be totally sure, they hang a piece of paper over the top of their laptop. Some webcams actually have a little privacy shield that you can close. That's why they have that. So if you want to be perfectly sure, you can always just block the camera. Then you know nothing's happening. But I think if you take all these precautions, you should be safe. Later in the show, I'm going to talk about what this guy did and how he did it with the webcam. We got an email from Diane in Kansas. Dear Doc and Jim, in WordPerfect, there was option to insert path to where the document was stored in the footer of the document when it's printed down at the bottom as part of the footer. Is there any way to do this in Microsoft Word? Thanks, Diane in Leavenworth, Kansas.
I wonder if she's a guest of the government.
I don't know. She didn't really specify. But I wonder how she. I wonder if she. Well, but she could probably listen to Tech Talk in the prison just by streaming.
Well, you know, there are politicians in Maryland who want to give prisoners iPads, so I suspect that they probably have. There's a federal witness protection iPad program or something.
It could certainly be. Well, the good news is, Diane, that printing the document path in Word is quite easy. Now, you actually have more options in Word than you did in WordPerfect, but you use what they call fields. Fields. These are data fields, because you're inserting a data field. What you want to do is go down to the footer of your document. And then you click on, so you're editing the footer. Then you highlight the place where you want to insert the file name and the path. And then you use insert field. And you'll get a list of a bunch of different things you can insert, from author's name to page number to date to save page to print page, a lot of things. You probably got about... probably have about 50, a list of 40 different kinds of fields. Now, in Windows 7, what you want to do is go to Insert, and then you go to Quick Parts. And then under Quick Parts, click on Field. So for some reason, in Windows 7, they put Field under Quick Parts, so you have to kind of look around for it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you select the field you want to insert. Now, in your case, you're going to select file name, and when you select file name, you have an option to click the add path option. You click that, and then you'll have the file name and the full path printed at the bottom of the document wherever you put your cursor. That was a good question.
Yes.
And we really enjoy your emails. We want you to email us to techtalk@stratford.edu, because your emails definitely make a difference to the show.
They absolutely do. And, of course, Doc, SSA Classroom of the Airwaves, and you are a multitasker. You're doing more than just instructing
yes.
today.
I'm monitoring the Facebook webpage for Tech Talk, and go to facebook.com/TechTalkOnline and leave your comments during the show, and we may talk about them.
This is your Classroom of the Airwaves, brought to you by the fine folks at Stratford University. Check them out at stratford.edu. This is Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. More right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We're back in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, excellent, Mr. Big Voice.
He's trying.
He's doing a very good job. Today we're going to feature Ray Milton Dolby. Ray Milton Dolby invented the Dolby Noise Reduction System. He also co-invented videotape recording while he was at Ampex. He is founder of Dolby Laboratories, and you've heard of course, Surround Sound. He was the inventor of Dolby Surround Sound. He was born January 18th, 1933 in Portland, Oregon. He was raised in San Francisco and graduated from Sequoia High School in 1951. Now, he was always interested in technology, and as a teenager, he held a part-time job and summer jobs at Ampex in Redwood City, working with their first audio tape recording development program. Now, while at San Jose and later at Stanford University, which was interrupted by a couple of years in Army service, he worked on early prototypes of the videotape recording technology, and he was actually listed as a co-inventor of the videotape recorder. He was a non-degree-holding consultant because he didn't have his bachelor's degree yet, and he played a key role in the effort that led to Ampex's unveiling of their prototype quadruplex videotape recorder in April 1956. Then in 1957, Ray Milton Dolby made his mother very happy when he graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering from Stanford University. Then he won the Marshall Scholarship to the PhD program at the University of Cambridge. I mean, that's pretty impressive. That is impressive. And within the University of Cambridge, he went to Pembroke College. And he received his PhD, that's why I like him, in physics Pembroke College in 1961. Now, after Cambridge, he acted as a technical advisor to the United Nations in India until 1965. So he went to India for 4 years. But while he was at Cambridge, he began to notice, because he was like an audiophile, he began to notice this hissing noise on audio tapes. And, you know, if you're ever listening to some kind of music and then you get kind of a quiet section, there's kind of the hiss, you know, the background hiss of the tape. And this bothered him. And he was actually kept thinking about this thing while he was in India. And the solution came to him in his home while he was in. He had a home in Punjab, in India, and it, while he was at home in Punjab, the solution came to him. He was sitting at his desk making some calculations on distortions generated by some conventional noise reduction systems, and suddenly, like a flash, he realized that these problems would disappear if he separated the high levels of signal from the low levels of signal and amplified them differently.
Mm-hmm.
So this was like an inspiration that came in a flash. So when he returned to England in 1965, he founded Dolby Laboratories in London. In that same year, he officially invented the Dolby sound system, a form of an electronic filter, but he didn't file his U.S. patent until 1969. Now, prior to Dolby's invention, all of music had background noises. His was particularly noticeable during instrumental solos or quiet, silent passages, and he completely solved this problem. The filter was first used by Decca Records in the UK, and the first film that Dolby Sound used was A Clockwork Orange.
Huh.
A Clockwork Orange was the first film that used Dolby Sound. Dolby Laboratories grew to be an industry leader in audio technology, cutting background hiss and tape recordings, and later bringing out surround sound, which now we all know. Dolby moved to San Francisco in 1976, moved his whole company there. And in 1981, he was awarded an Oscar because actually he transformed the sound of the soundtrack of movies.
Sure.
He also received the Grammy Award in 1995 because of his work on soundtracks, and he received Emmy Awards in 1989 and 2005. So he really got into the whole Hollywood scene quite a bit. Dolby was a fellow and past president of the Audio Engineering Society. He died of leukemia on September 12, 2013, in his San Francisco home at age of 80. He was a member of the Forbes 400, the top 400 richest people in the U.S. He had an estimated net worth of $2.9 billion in 2008, but by 2009, that value had declined down to around $2.4 billion. So there you go, Ray Milton Dolby, Dr. Dolby. I didn't realize he had a PhD. It's really Dr. Dolby.
Dr. Dolby.
There you go. All you wanted to know about Dr. Dolby, the inventor of surround sound.
Pretty amazing. Now, you built speakers at some point, but that was based on the Bose.
I built the Bose 901 speakers. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've got the one forward facing speaker and then the eight rear facing speakers. And so
Dolby sound on your speakers must sound pretty incredible.
It probably does, but Dolby of course has got it's used for stereo, and you've got the rear, you've got five speakers. You've mm-hmm. got two in the back, two in the front, and one in the middle. So you need more than just my two speakers for Dolby surround sound. But those would be an excellent component if I would combine it with the other three speakers.
Well, I think you need to get to work.
I know. I'm going to have to. Well, actually, I gave those speakers to my son,
uh-huh.
and now he's got them in his house.
Yeah, you'll never see them again.
I've moved on.
There you go. We're
about
to move on. Hope you were paying attention, because we're about to play the pop quiz, your chance to show us just how smart you are, how well you've been paying attention, and your chance to win a free prize of food here on Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2. More of Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Technology is constantly changing. An effective IT manager must not only understand the possibilities and limitations of the technology, but also the requirements and constraints of the business world. Enhance your career today with a master's degree from Stratford University School of Computer Information Systems. Classes are offered day, evening, and weekends to match your busy schedule and are taught by experienced faculty members with industry experience. Earn your master's degree in as little as 15 months with an accelerated program in software engineering, information systems, information assurance, or telecommunications. Learn more about earning your master's degree from Stratford University at stratford.edu or call 1-800-444-0804.
Disclose statements available at stratford.edu/disclosures. Stratford University, 1-800-444-0804.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
And now it's time for Washington's most popular and longest running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio, otherwise known as Classroom of the Airways.
You keep bringing that point home.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Because when there's a classroom, of course, we are teaching. We must have students who learn. And when you have students who are learning, you have to assess their knowledge.
This is a principle we should employ to the entire academic system, don't you think? Not just at your level.
That's right. So we must have an assessment. And, of course, our assessment is going to be in the form of a pop quiz. If you get the correct answer to this pop quiz, you'll win two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room, the Carême Dining Room, in addition to receiving an A for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the show, I talked about Ray Milton Dolby. That would be Dr. Dolby.
Dr. Dolby.
Dr. Dolby, who invented surround sound and actually was founder of Dolby Laboratories. And he started playing Dolby both for records as well as for soundtracks of movies. What was the first movie that had Dolby sound? This movie was released in 1971.
Well, this is the audience participation portion of the Classroom of the Airways, so you need to participate now. And by doing that, you must pick up the phone and call us. If you're calling from west of San Francisco, California, it's 877-936-9333. East of Punjab, India, it's 877-936-9333. And, of course, everybody else can call us on the wildcard line, which is 877-936-9333. But
if you're calling from Indonesia,
mm-hmm,
you can use our Skype connection. Simply connect to Tech Talk Radio 1, and that call will be forwarded directly to the studio, free of charge.
But I'm guessing our winner is going to call us on 877-936-9333.
It is certainly possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the NSA workers have been spying on their lovers and exes. And it actually has been quite the big stink has been released with a letter. Details of the NSA employee abuse of data was revealed in a letter from the NSA Inspector General George Ellard to Senator Chuck Grassley. In August, Grassley asked Ellard to provide details on instances documented by the Inspector General's office in which NSA personnel intentionally and willfully abused their surveillance authority. The request followed media reports of workers with access to NSA surveillance spying on their lovers. The practice is reported as having its own nickname called LoveInt. You've heard of SIGINT, which is signal intelligence.
Uh-huh.
You've got HumInt, which is human intelligence. Well, this is LoveInt. This is love intelligence.
Grief.
So they're keeping an eye on
folks. Are they getting anything done of any worth over there?
I don't know. Now, one user of the NSA system queried 6 email addresses that belonged to his ex, later testifying, as the newly released letter paraphrased, that he wanted to practice on the system and decided to use his former girlfriend's address to do so. Look, so he could practice.
Practice,
that's pretty thin. That's a pretty thin excuse.
Very thin.
Since January of 2003, there have been 12 substantiated instances of intentional misuse of SIGINT data by the authorities at NSA. Of the 12 cases, 8 involve snooping on current or past lovers or spouses. One analyst said he queried the number of his foreign national girlfriend out of curiosity. Another did the same because he wanted to see if his girlfriend was involved with any government officials or activities that might get him in trouble.
Good grief.
Another discovered a foreign phone number on her husband's cell phone and queried it to see if he was cheating with somebody overseas. The tasking resulted in a collection of the voice calls of her husband, because they can actually get the. So she listened to the actual phone calls that her husband had. In 5 of the 12 cases, the employees resigned before being disciplined. In one instance, the employee retired before being disciplined. In another, the worker retired before the investigation had been finalized.
Holy cow.
Half the cases were referred to the Department of Justice. However, none of the workers have been prosecuted.
This is insane.
So there you go. When there's data, there's opportunity for abuse. And now we know a new word on Tech Talk, Loveint.
Loveint.
Love
we always learned something here. Now, we so far, we have stumped everybody. So, Doc, ask the question one more time.
Earlier in the show, I was talking about Dr. Dolby, who, of course, was the inventor of Dolby Surround Sound, Ray Milton Dolby. What was the first film that Dolby Surround Sound was used for? It was released in 1971.
There you go. And one of the words in the title, there is a word there that doesn't have anything that rhymes with it in the English language. So there's a little hint for you. Not a big hint.
Doesn't have any word that rhymes
with
it?
Yeah, nothing rhymes with the word, the first word. Think about it.
I don't know.
You don't know.
I'm already stumped, and I know the answer,
okay,
Jim.
Okay, 877-936-9333.
I think that hint...
That wasn't much of a hint, then,
that
was it?
That hint really stinks. I don't even understand the hint, and I know the answer.
877-936-9333. You'll get it when we get a winner.
Okay.
All right. Why don't you talk about something else, because now I think we've got people on the right track.
Okay, here we go. Obamacare tech problem. That might be a little bit long to get through.
I think so.
Okay, let's make arrest made for webcam hijacking.
Okay, I like this.
That kind of ties into my deal here.
Uh-huh.
A college student was arrested Thursday for allegedly hijacking the webcams of young women.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is the reigning Miss Teen USA, Cassidy Wolf. He took nude pictures of her while she was dressing and then posted them to the internet.
Jeez.
I mean, she didn't do anything wrong.
No.
Jared James Abrahams, a 19-year-old computer science student from Temecula, California, surrendered on Thursday to the FBI on federal extortion charges. Authorities say he victimized young women by taking control of their computers and then photographing them as they changed clothes. Abrahams appeared in court later that day and then was released on intensive pretrial supervision after his parents posted $50,000 in bond money. He admitted what he had done in June. He said that he had 30 to 40 slave computers, all where he had taken over the webcam.
Mm-hmm.
His arrest came 6 months after a teenager identified in court documents as CW alerted authorities. She has since publicly identified herself as Cassidy Wolf, the recently clowned Miss Teen USA. She touted the news reports of her alleged tormentor's arrest on Twitter. Wolf got a feedback alert when someone tried to change her password to the social networking site. She then noticed her other passwords had been changed, and then she noticed that her Twitter avatar now had a half-nude picture of her on it.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, a short time later, she received what would be the first of many messages. The first message is what's going to happen to Wolf if she didn't send pictures or videos or do whatever he wanted to do in front of the webcam. The messenger took great effort to hide himself, but investigators eventually were able to find corresponding emails, IP addresses, and other communications with link to Abraham. They also tied him to an online forum asking about malware and how to control webcams and hacking into Facebook accounts. Authorities executed a search warrant on Abraham's home, at which time he voluntarily agreed to speak with a pair of FBI agents. His parents, by the way, did apologize to all the victims.
Wow.
So this webcam hijacking is a problem. You can protect against it, but you just must be careful.
Pretty scary stuff.
Yes.
Okay. We'll see here if the hint helped. Let's go to line one. This is Jenny calling from lovely Annandale, Virginia. Jenny, how are you doing this morning?
Fine, thank you.
Good, thank you, Dr. Schertz. Go ahead and ask the question,
yes,
please.
Sir, early in the show, I talked about Dr. Ray Milton Dolby, of course, invented Dolby Surround Sound. What was the first movie in which Dolby Sound was used for the soundtrack?
Clockwork Orange.
That is correct.
That is the winning answer. You were correct.
You win two tickets to Fine Dining at the Escoffier Dining Room. Just stay on the line and give your name and email address to Andrew, who's Vice President of Prize Distribution. Is that his current title?
He is Adjunct Professor for Prize Distribution.
Okay.
I'm surprised you remember that. Jenny, I must know, did the hint help you out at all, or was it completely useless?
I knew it before the hint.
Well, we appreciate you calling. In other words,
Jim, it was useless.
It was useless.
Yeah, but she's just being polite.
Doc is being very blunt this morning, isn't he? Yours is an unfamiliar name on our call screener board here. Is this the first time you've called us?
Yes.
Have you listened to us for a while?
No.
Good. How did you find out about us?
I happen to turn the radio on.
Well, that's good. Well, we appreciate you listening.
You know, that is really the best way to discover a radio show.
Jenny, thanks a million. I hope you stay with us. Hang on for adjunct professor Andrew Mitchell. Doc, thank you very much for nothing, really. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. And we'll be back with more, you know, stuff after this on Tech Talk.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Budget analyst, a vice president of sales. These are today's business leaders, and a degree from Stratford University's Tysons Corner or Woodbridge campus offers you a powerful path to navigate the corporate world. The School of Business Administration at Stratford University offers both bachelor's and master's degree programs for a real-world education. In fact, many of today's Stratford business grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. An executive chef at a trendy restaurant, a hotel general manager at a prestigious resort. These are the high-profile positions in the culinary arts and hospitality management industry. Get working towards your bachelor's or master's degree at Stratford University's Tysons Corner or Woodbridge campus. In fact, many of today's Stratford culinary arts and hospitality grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology.
There really is nothing that rhymes with orange. We checked it out.
That's according to the Oxford English Dictionary.
The only word that comes close is sporange.
Yeah, but, you know, Jim, that hint just really wasn't a good one.
You know what? I probably should have quit while I was behind and not asked Jenny if the hint had helped her out.
Yes, you should have said. You should have just assumed that it helped her.
Exactly.
And not ask. So
Me and my big mouth.
Hacker was sentenced to 3 years for hacking police sites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always like to win these guys. This guy was part of the Anonymous group, the Collective Anonymous. And he was breaking into police and municipal websites in Utah, New York, Missouri, and California. He actually pleaded guilty to computer fraud for hacking into several of police websites. John Anthony Burrell was sentenced to 3 years in federal prison, September 12, 2013. He's 22. He's from Ohio, but was accused of breaching the websites of police agencies in Utah, New York, California, and a municipal website in Missouri. According to court documents, the intrusions caused thousands of dollars of damage and forced Utah police to shut down the site for nearly 3 months.
Wow.
3 months?
3 months?
They must have a serious IT deficiency there in that Utah police department. Reportedly, the attacks on Utah's police websites were done in protest for the proposed U.S. anti-piracy legislation, and it offended Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Google tweaks...
Hang on a second.
Yes.
I noticed one thing about the story that catches my attention.
What's that?
The perpetrator is from Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Ohio seems to be a hotbed for IT ne'er-do-wells, I guess.
You know, I'm thinking there could be a lot of activity going in Ohio. Maybe he knows that Ohio group up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah.
Could very well be. Google is tweaking their search engine. They just did a series of upgrades to the search engine, and they're trying to impact mobile search apps. The changes are particularly focused on enabling more complex spoken interactions with Google's mobile apps. The new features apply to all Google searches, but were demonstrated with queries spoken out loud to Google's mobile apps. One change sees Google better able to understand broad questions, like if you want to ask about a band, instead of bringing up only the website for the band, it brings up all the movies and songs that they've been in and any other related topics. So you get more a broader contextual answer to what you're doing instead of just a strict search for the phrase or the word. Another upgrade gives Google the ability to compare different things or concepts. For example, if you ask the search engine to compare coconut oil versus olive oil, it produces a table contrasting the different nutritional qualities. So they basically are building this on what they call the knowledge graph, which the company unveiled last year. It gives the company software the ability to understand meanings, concepts, and relationships behind the concepts. The change puts it into direct competition with Siri, which is promoted as a personal assistant to help to talk to people like a real person. The upgrade is known as Hummingbird, and it replaces the one known as Caffeine, which went into effect in 2010. About 90% of Google searches have been affected by this change.
Do you use Siri on your Apple products?
Sometimes, but I use it just for silly stuff. I mean, I don't really do it too seriously.
I think you need to define silly stuff, Doc.
So, I just like sometimes I like just to hear what her answers are.
Uh-huh.
I ask stuff. But I use the voice recognition a lot. So I use voice, like if I want to send a text message, I can just speak it. I don't have to type it.
Mm-hmm.
So the voice recognition is extremely useful.
Huh.
And so you can actually, typing a text message is a pain. You can just speak it.
Sure.
Or else, like if I want to do, if I want to go into Google Maps, I just speak the address and it understands it. So I don't have to type in the address in Google Maps in the cell phone.
This is a good thing. Maybe
so speech recognition is quite good.
I should experiment with her. Doc, let's take a break. This is Federal Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio. Maybe Siri could host the program because she's more articulate than I am.
Maybe we should do. Maybe you can get her to make a guest appearance for us.
We'll work on that.
Okay.
This is Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. More tech news right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. Now we've got here Siri.
Well,
got Siri sitting beside me in the studio.
Exactly, and you've been involved in a heated discussion with her during the commercial break.
Siri, do you like Tech Talk Radio, and especially do you like the hosts?
I'd rather not say.
You know, Siri.
Hi there.
This is
Siri.
Not...
Siri, do you like Jim Rush and Dr. Richard Schertz?
Leave me out of this.
I really have no opinion.
You know, this is probably the most boring radio interview I think I've ever had. Okay.
This is not a good
advertisement for
Apple either.
Siri, why don't you just go to the next room with Mr. Big Voice, and you can finish out the show. You two can talk with each other.
And you can remove all of the dead letters from the mailbag.
Okay. Facebook is using deep learning to find meaning in your posts. Deep learning.
Deep learning.
Yeah, a new research group within Facebook is working on an emerging and powerful approach to artificial intelligence known as deep learning, which uses simulated networks of brain cells to process data. This is an artificial neural network. I used to work on that many years ago. Applying this method to data shared on Facebook would allow Facebook to discover novel features of what you're saying and perhaps boost the company's ability to target ads. Deep learning has the potential as a very software solution that could work out emotions or events. It could be predictive. It can be used to recognize photos, to make sophisticated predictions on what people's future behaviors likely would be. There's an 8-person group known as the AI team, which only recently started to work on this, and its experiments are still secret. But Facebook's chief technology officer, Mike Schrepfer, will say one obvious way of using deep learning is to improve the news feed. The company already uses conventional machine learning techniques to prune 1,500 updates on the average Facebook user down to maybe 30 to 60. He says deep learning could be used to help people organize their photos or to choose which ones are best. And looking at a deep learning, Facebook followed its competition, and you'd expect that Google and Microsoft use this approach with very impressive results last year. Google has hired and acquired leading talent in the field, and last year it created software that taught itself to recognize cats and other objects by reviewing stills from YouTube videos. The underlying technology was later used to slash the error rate of Google's voice recognition system. Microsoft uses deep learning to build systems that translate, say, English to Mandarin Chinese in real time. What this is, it's an artificial neural network, and you basically train it on data. So you don't have to decide what categories it are. It exposes it to more and more data, and it gradually begins to see relationships as the synaptic values change so that it begins to recognize, patterns recurring, and it develops its own classification system, just like a baby learns.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is actually going to lead to very sophisticated analysis of data. And this is a big data application that I think is going to be able to predict stuff that's just scary. So that's big data. And you can look at, you can actually, if you want to search for this, sort of the word that they've been using, if you want to do keyword, search for deep learning, and you'll get all the references that Google, Microsoft, and Facebook have on the deep learning process.
Sounds good. Let's take another break here, Doc. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. More tech news and other stuff coming up right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Technology is constantly changing. An effective IT manager must not only understand the possibilities and limitations of the technology, but also the requirements and constraints of the business world. Enhance your career today with a master's degree from Stratford University School of Computer Information Systems. Classes are offered day, evening, and weekends to match your busy schedule and are taught by experienced faculty members with industry experience. Earn your master's degree in as little as 15 months with an accelerated program in software engineering, information systems, information assurance, or telecommunications. Learn more about earning your master's degree from Stratford University at stratford.edu or call 1-800-444-0804. Disclose statements available at stratford.edu/disclosures. Stratford University, 1-800-444-0804.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And Obamacare is going to be launched October 1st.
Tuesday.
With the exchanges. And there are tech problems.
Okay.
The health insurance marketplace mandated by Obama's administration's Affordable Care Act is scheduled to go open for business October 1st. Every state will have its own online health care exchange where citizens can browse and buy insurance from health care providers as if they were shopping for flights on a travel website. Consumers will be able to find out if they qualify for financial assistance, compare plans based on pricing, quality, benefits, etc. The portals will calculate the premiums and potential tax credits based on the citizen's income, eligibility for subsidies, and other parameters. Now, behind the scenes, a number of agencies, applications, and data sources must swap information to keep the system running. This is where the complexity occurs. Homeland Security sends citizenship information. IRS sends income information. Social Security sends Medicare eligibility information. And the states send you additional Medicare eligibility information. All that data has to be synchronized. Now, here's the problem. The final security testing of this federal data hub, which links all the databases and maintains all the sensitive personal information, actually isn't going to be tested until September 30th, the day before the rollout.
Mm.
Now, this, to me, looks like a formula for disaster.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. District of Columbia's Health Link Marketplace announced that it won't deploy on October 1st because the function that makes new Medicaid eligibility determinations and calculates tax credits for purchase of private insurance is not working due to a high error rate that was discovered through extensive systems testing. Other states have reported similar functional setbacks. Associated Press is reporting that online enrollment for small businesses will be delayed and small business owners initially will have to mail or fax their enrollment information. Deloitte was hired to build the healthcare exchange for Washington, Kentucky, Rhode Island, and Connecticut. Four of the 16 states that opted to build one. Seven of the states partnered with the federal government. 27 relied on the federal government to operate their exchanges. Some are viewing this as a soft launch since actually mandatory coverage is not required until January. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a bit of a problem, but hopefully they're going to get this thing ironed out. Let's look at the let's talk about the operating system 7, which includes multipath TCP. This is actually a new feature. For 5 years, researchers have worked on multipath TCP. See, TCP is the protocol, transmission control protocol that's used on the internet. And the multipath TCP is designed to make the connections to our mobile devices faster and more reliable. The nice thing is that when you download OS 7, you do get multipath TCP activated for one function, Siri. That's it. And eventually they'll roll it out for all functions, but right now it's used for Siri.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before multipath TCP, here was the problem. You see, when you have a computer, you're hooked to the internet either through Wi-Fi or through Ethernet, and you don't really carry your computer around. But you've got a phone, you might have an internet connection through your 3G or 4G service provider, then you come home and then you've got Wi-Fi. And all of a sudden, you've got another path to the internet. So in the past, when you had single path, you could only transmit through one path or the other. Suppose you were at home doing a download on Wi-Fi and you walk out of the house, the Wi-Fi connection fails. There's no way to automatically switch over to 3G connection. You've got to start the download all over again.
Mm-hmm.
With multipath TCP, it can just choose between any connection. So suppose you're at home, you got 3G there and you got Wi-Fi. But your 3G is faster than your Wi-Fi, it'll pick 3G. If the Wi-Fi is faster, it will pick Wi-Fi, and it will always optimize the path no matter what you have, and it will give you reliable downloads even when you change the type of connection that's available. So the ability to connect and maintain continuous connection over the internet with multiple wired and wireless connections is really defining the future for mobile. Now, this is the first and most important change to the low-level architecture of the internet to reflect the fact that our connections to it are now more mobile and wireless than ever. In September 2013, in a presentation to the Australian Network Operations Group, computer scientist Mark Smith suggested that multipath TCP was the beginning of a larger change on how the internet is built, in which individual devices decide how they'll communicate with each other rather than simply relying on protocols that have already been built into the computers and that pass along all of our traffic over the internet. So this is actually going to mean our devices are smarter, and they're just going to use the internet as a tool. So mm-hmm. This is a major shift in internet protocol. And actually, it's quite impressive that Apple is right on top of it, included multipath multipath TCP. Now, right now, it's only used for Siri. And the reason they're using it for Siri is that when you're talking on Siri, you actually want to make certain that you don't lose the connection. Now, Windows XP.
Yes.
I love Windows XP, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, I haven't used it for a while, but it was fast. When I went from XP to Vista, I regretted that change because Vista was a dog. Now that I've got Windows 7, I kind of like Windows 7. But Windows XP was actually quite nice, and a lot of people are still using it because it's a fairly good system. Mm-hmm. But on April 8th, 2014, it's the end of life for Windows XP. End of life means that Microsoft will no longer be releasing any more security updates for the average user. Any security flaws that hackers find won't be fixed. Microsoft has done the same with Windows 95, Windows 98, Windows Me. The end of life for Vista is April 11th, 2017. Now, that should have ended sooner. The end of life for Windows 7 is January 14th, 2020. Microsoft extended XP's end of life several times. XP first appeared at the end of 2001. So this is 2000. That's 12 years. XP will be nearly 13 years old. It can't support the latest, safest, and most web-compatible versions of Internet Explorer. It can't take advantage of the latest hardware advances. Many of the third-party companies would love to stop supporting XP because it takes a lot of time to make their programs work on the old browsers that only XP supports. Mm-hmm. Web developers would be overjoyed if XP-only Internet Explorer versions 6, 7, and 8 would go away. These versions are so far behind the other browsers that you practically have to write another website just for them. Now, if you are going to upgrade, I recommend you upgrade to Windows 7 rather than Windows 8. Because chances are you don't have a touch screen, so why go to a touch screen operating system? And Windows 7 is quite nice. I like Windows 7.
Okay.
Now, you can't do an in-place upgrade from XP to 7. You got to wipe your hard drive and install Windows 7 from scratch. If you buy an upgrade version of Windows 7, you'll need the XP installation disks to prove you're eligible. They might ask you for the code for that. So that's kind of the key, and I think that is coming along quite nicely. And so there you go.
Do you think that they'll maybe extend its life a little longer because it's been popular, or is this going to be the end of the line for sure?
No,
for real?
I don't think they are going to extend it. I think they've done it so many times. And now that Windows 7 is such a good operating system, I think they're going to stick with it. When they mm-hmm. just had Vista, I think they just kept extending.
But because now people were so unhappy.
Yeah,
with
now
Vista.
Windows 7 is a pretty stable system, so that's quite nice. You know, this whole NSA deal, the FISA court ordered the feds to declassify more opinions. Mm-hmm. You know, all these guys like Google, and they said they couldn't say what data they had to release. Now the FISA court said that they're going to have to declassify this so some of these vendors can say exactly what the government has demanded that they do. And I think that is a good move.
Good.
Well, listen, Tech Talk is ending so quickly.
Yes.
Just love this time out. Next time we'll try to get Siri a little bit more behaved.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we love your emails. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu and go to the Stratford website at stratford.edu. Check out the programs and tell them you heard about it on Tech Talk Radio.
If you missed this show or would like to hear it again, if you tuned in late, you can listen again today at 2:05 for our replay of Tech Talk Radio. See you next week.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com, the only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
I should clarify, the Tech Talk replay is online at 2:05 today. Because we have Navy football here on the mothership starting at 12:35 with Ken Niumatalolo's Coaches Show and Pete Medhurst play-by-play beginning at 12:30. It's going to become partly sunny today with a high in the mid-70s. Right now, it is 64 outside our studios in Northwest.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal